Hey, what's going on? You know who it is. It is Bruce Jordan, the Michael Jordan of Hotels. And today we have Karina Montgomery, who is the author of The 30 Days of Inspiration for Sales Professionals. What's going on? How you doing today?
What's up, Bruce?
It's been a long time coming.
Well, it's been about 2 years we've been trying to get this.
And you finally was able to make it happen. I was here at the right time. I wasn't visiting one of my hotels.
Right, exactly. And I happen to be in Orlando, so what an opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. You know, the first question I always ask is, how did you get started?
Oh, you know what? I have a story.
Okay.
So I was actually working in sales in the medical field.
Oh, wow.
I had just moved to Atlanta.
Wow.
It was the year 2000. And a young lady came in. So we had these rallies once a month. So the top three producers in the month got awarded. So the first person would get the platinum, the next one get gold, bronze, right? So, and we were selling medical supplies to medical companies. So I was top three a couple times, but this particular day, a young lady came in, not from Cubicle Nation where we were, she came in from the outside. So I asked my supervisor, I said, "Who's that?" She said, "Jerry." So I said, "Who's Jerry?" And she said, "She does outside sales." Mm-hmm. We were inside. We were on the phones. Nice. So I said, "Well, how do I get to do outside sales?" She was like, "Oh my God, Jerry's been with the company for years. You got a long way to go before you get to outside sales."
You had a long way to go to get outside
sales? Right. So Bruce, I put in my notice that day. I put in the 2-week notice. Follow the story now. I'm 7 months pregnant with my second child. But I was like, I want to do outside sales. Jerry pulled up in a BMW. She had on a nice suit. She had on designer shoes. She had a briefcase. And I was like, this is not working. I want to do that. So I resigned. I went home. I got on my computer. I had AOL dial-up. But I typed in the one as outside sales. Marriott pulled up. And it said, "We have an outside sales position." I was like, "Well, that's for me." Knew nothing about what the position was going to be about. Interviewed with the general manager, and she was like, "Oh my God, we love you. We'd love to have you." So nice. I was like, "Okay, awesome." She gave me my offer letter. I came back in to sign the offer letter, and I was like, "Well, I have something to tell you." And she was like, "Well," I was like, "Oh, 7 months pregnant." I had it hit. Like, I was a little better then, but I had it hit on
she
the
was like,
"Yeah, exactly." And so I didn't want to say that for. And she was like, "You know what, Karina?" She was like, "We love you. We love your energy. We love babies." She was like, "We still want to make the offer."
Oh, that is beautiful.
February 2000, my career with hotels began, and this is what, 2024.
Wow. That is an amazing story, especially I got like a 2 month old, 2 year old, so I couldn't imagine having to suck that in.
Right. I don't know how I did it either. It was a God thing. I don't know, but I hit it during the first two interviews.
I can't even hide mine.
But it's been an amazing journey.
I can imagine. I mean, tell us about some of your accomplishments. The list is so long, I couldn't name them all.
It's long. And it's hard to do and not feel like you're bragging, but it's kind of like, what do they say, receipts, right? So I started February 2000, right? That same year, I won what was called Sales Team of the Year. There were two of us. So I was on maternity leave for, you know, 8-9 of those weeks. But they said, "This is what we can do. You can prospect from home, set up the site visits, and we'll do the site visits at the hotel." So I became a prospecting machine.
Nice.
Setting up appointment after appointment. I'm on the phone. I'm building rapport, like we'll talk about a little bit later. But they were like, "How in the world did you do?" And I had my counterpart sales manager on property that we've become good friends now, that she was taking all the appointments and booking the business. And we won Sales Team of the Year that first year. And then I was still with Marriott, and I won Director of Sales of the Year 2 years running with Residence Inns. I was a Marriott managed hotel. So there were 500 Residence Inns at the time. I don't know how many there are now, but there were 500 at the time. So 2 years running. So once I left Residence Inn, I did an area director of sales role. Did that for about 8 or 9 months. And then I went into operations. Why did I do that?
Because you crazy.
I'm crazy. I became an AGM of a courtyard. Look, I was doing the 2 to the faint shift. Like, yeah, it was supposed to be 2 to 11 and it was 2 to faint. You know how it goes. Somebody mm-hmm. calls off, the auditor calls off or whatever. But my daughter at the time was still young. Mm-hmm. And so I was working Sunday through Thursday and I was like, yeah, I want to go back into sales. So
smart move.
Not that I couldn't do operations. I have a business degree. You know, I used to work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I ran Enterprise Rent-A-Car branches like in my first career out of college. But I just didn't want to spend that time away from my family and my yeah. kids and working at night. So I went back into sales. This time I went to the Hilton brand.
Okay. Okay.
And so my first Hilton hotel was a DoubleTree. And this is not bragging. I mean, completely turned the entire hotel around. It was a transition hotel. So we went from one management company to another. I won't mention the management company names right now, but the first.
Yeah, you can tell me later.
I'll tell you later.
We'll need the details.
So they went from kind of a bad situation to a good situation. Mm-hmm. But when I arrived on property, they were like, yeah, your whole sales team is on a PIP. So I want you to get rid of them all.
Wow.
Oh, so you waited for me to come to get rid of them. Why wow. didn't you get rid of them prior? So they were all on 30-day PIPs. At the end of the 30 days, nobody made the cut. And so I had to let the entire sales team go. But
how many people?
There was 3 sales managers and 1 coordinator.
They couldn't even keep the coordinator. What PIP does the coordinator have to
The make? Coordinator was actually going back to move back to Mississippi. So it kind of worked out that she wasn't staying anyway. Okay. So they were like, now you got to rehire the entire team. And I said, okay, great. So this is 2008, March of 2008. Mm-hmm. This was at the onset of the downturn of the economy. And so I hire 3 people. The first person that I hired, I met her at a networking event in the area. She had never worked in hotel sales before. She was actually selling transportation, like the black car service,
VIP, oh, yeah.
like limousines and stuff. They were picking up people from the airport. And so we were both at this event, but we started talking and she was like, I always wanted to get in sales, but I don't think I can get in. I was like, what? She was like, no, don't you have to look a certain way? And don't you have to have this kind of degree? I was like, what? So we started talking. Her background was that she had been an Olympian.
Oh, wow.
So you
so she handled all the Smurf.
Yeah. But not only that, you know how to win. You know how to be a champion. Mm-hmm. I brought her on. I hired 2 more people. And in less than 90 days, in a downturn economy, we turned it all around because my background was I knew how to go get it.
That's right.
I started at a Residence Inn and all I knew was proactive. All I knew was going out and making calls. All I knew was you need to know the account, like we talked about, account saturation, account loyalty. All I knew is that we didn't wait for phones to ring. They didn't ring at Residence Inns. You had to go find extended stay business.
That's right.
5, 12, or 30 days, remember?
That's right.
Those were our milestones. And so we had to literally go out. So I taught my sales team what I knew. And so they were like, okay, so we need to go out and make calls. You do.
See, what a lot of people don't understand, especially when it comes to extended stay, is that you don't want transit business with extended stay. It defeats the whole purpose of the model and it runs up your costs mm-hmm. because the operation is designed to run off of lower operations and lower costs. So you don't have to clean rooms every day.
Right.
But when you're trying to run transit on extended stay, your P&L is just going to
it's shot.
Huge hit.
Yeah. And so that's where I was groomed. So we had to go find that 12-night stay. We had to go find a 30-night stay. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't calling us over the phone. And so I remember I courted, and this is taking me back, dated. I courted Chick-fil-A for probably 60 to 90 days. I went by that company every single week looking for this lady, and she's a real person, named Gia Smith, mm-hmm. who handles the training. So the training model was they're the franchisees who are going to be having their own store, owner-operated okay. store. And so they did 2 segments. The first was 12 nights. Mm-hmm. They came to the corporate office. Then they went back to their stores. Then they came back to the corporate office again for another 7 nights. And they would have anywhere from 20 to 30 per class. It was golden. Nice. And they had, after one end, the next. This class happened year round. And so I knew that business was out there and I knew she was head of it. So I stalked them.
Yeah, and, I would have been at the franchise. Let me get a number two spicy chicken, extra cheese.
I'm going to tell you that story about what, once we won the account. So one day I was in the lobby. I was asking her, "Is she there?" And so she was like, "Well, no, she's in meetings, whatever." But I heard somebody call her name in the lobby. So if you ever been to the Chick-fil-A corporate office, it's like a museum. Mm-hmm. So at that time, Truett Cathy was still alive. He had all these model cars that sat in the lobby, that these were his toys that he had worked on. They, of course, had Chick-fil-A inside, so they had this whole big restaurant. But I heard somebody call her name, like, in the lobby, like, "Hey, Gia." And I turn around, and I leave the receptionist there. I know she was trying to tell me, "No, not today. You don't have an appointment." I walk through. I say, "Gia Smith, I'm Karita Montgomery. I've been trying to reach." She said, "Oh, my God, yes. You've been leaving your card here." She said, "Come walk with me."
Nice. Wow.
Walk with her back to her office. Not only did I walk to her back to her office, she takes me into Truett Cathy's office to introduce him to me. We shake hands. And then we go back to her office. We sit down and talk about the business. True story. They had a contract with, at the time, it wasn't Hyatt Places, but it was called Summer Something at the time. I forget, before they turned into Hyatt Places. But they had a contract. Mm-hmm. And they had another 6 months or so left on the contract. And she explained that to me. And I said, "Okay, I understand." I said, "You know, what are you all going to do when the contract is up? You know, I'd love to have your business and take care of your business." She said, "We'll be in touch." What she did, Bruce, and this is a true story, she called them and she told them, "We're going to come out of the contract. We want to terminate the contract." But they are such a high moral company. They paid them out.
Wow.
They paid them out what they owed them had they still been utilizing them. Mm-hmm. And they moved the business to my hotel.
That is amazing.
It's an amazing story.
That is amazing.
And that year, my GM and I, we won Hotel of the Year.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. See, that couldn't have been me because I would have gained about 20 pounds.
So when you said that, this is a true story. So while the operators are on property, one of their goals is they get stacks of chicken sandwich cards, mm-hmm. and they have to give them all out before the training is over. So my staff was like, "When is Chick-fil-A coming back?" So they literally give them 3, 4, 5 free sandwiches. It was for a free sandwich. And they would just hand them out like literally every day because they had to give out that stack before they left training.
Golly.
So my staff, they were like, "We're taking care of Chick-fil-A." You know those rooms were immaculate, right?
I know the gatehouse
was immaculate. Shoot. Breakfast, everything.
I don't need a tip.
So that's a true story. They had to give out those free sandwich cards.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story.
Right.
Tell me about RFPs. You know, a lot of things have changed in sales, and you know, a lot of times I feel like we have left some of the principles, mm-hmm. that allows us, you know, to do so well and have these numbers and hit our goals.
Right.
I feel like a lot of it's more transactional than anything else.
Right.
So what are some of the steps that you usually do when you receive an RFP from corporate or something that's internal?
One of the things I do, because if you took the time to send me an RFP, I'm going to take the time to read it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read it from top to bottom. I want to read everything that's there. And then as the expert, Bruce, I see an opportunity a lot of times, because a lot of meeting planners are new in their job too. Mm-hmm. And I might see something that they left out. Mm. "Hey, I read your RFP in detail. Thank you so much for sending it. This sounds like it's going to be an amazing meeting, but I noticed that you may have left out, you know, if they started the rooms on the wrong night, or you may have left out having a half day meeting on your last day, or you may have left out that." And they're like, "Oh my God, thank you so much." So now, not only am I a hotel person, now I am a problem solver, mm-hmm. for them. "Karita, thank you so much. I'm going to add XYZ. I'm going to resend the RFP. Say, hey, do you guys have it available?" Mm-hmm. "Actually, we do. And I wanted to talk to you about coming over, but if you can't, can we just sit down so I can learn your expectations? I can tell you what you can expect from us and show you how we can build this partnership if you decide to go with us. You know, you don't assume anything. You know what, Kareem, that would be an awesome idea. I have about 15 minutes tomorrow. Get on their calendar. It's not real unless you get on their calendar to talk specifically about the RFP. Once I get on their calendar, I'm making it all about them. What do you stand to gain if this goes well? Mm-hmm. How do I make you look like the superstar for XYZ company? Who else has done this meeting? You know, how long have you done this meeting? What's the history on it? Who's going to be here? Who are the stakeholders? Oh, your CFO is coming. Oh, we need to make sure that this meeting looks like it's saving the company money. It's an efficient meeting. Oh, your VP of sales is coming. Oh, we need to make sure that there's a lot of rah-rah, a lot of stuff that catches the eye. You know, just find out who are the stakeholders. Your HR person's coming. Oh, we need to make sure that we have our associates have their name tags on. We may even introduce our associate of the month. You know, things like that. Find out who's the stakeholders so that they also can be engaged in the process. We are transactional, like you said, and I think we leave a lot of money on the table. Mm-hmm. Because now, not only am I getting this meeting, but I'm going to get everything that they have. I'm going to be recommended by this person. I'm going to get referrals from this person. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be, you know, I'm like their go-to. You know, I'm their go-to person. So there's so much more in an RFP than just the dates, rates, and space that we go after.
So what are like some of the top five things that you make sure is always in your RFP? Because if it's not in there, it can kill the whole deal.
For me, one of the things that I always do is an introduction. Mm-hmm. So I don't go straight to date, space, and rates. I introduce myself. I'm Kareem Montgomery. Just so you feel confident, I've been in the business 20 years. I've worked with several companies that have a similar program to the one that you have outlined here. So I want to make sure you rest assured. I can take care of your meeting. I can take care of your attendees. I can take care of your billing, your company. I put out who I am, my expertise, where I've worked, what I've done. Number two, I highlight the property and what specifically they're going to be using in the property.
Nice. Nice. A lot of salespeople don't do that.
Yep. What area of the hotel are they going to be using? And I want to highlight that. And I want to highlight an associate that's in the area. When I was at DoubleTree Airport, I had a banquet captain that had opened that building. The building was 26 years old or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was there from the beginning. He knew every square footage, he knew it in and out. So when I knew that I had a big VIP client coming, I would introduce him. His name is Antonio. Mm-hmm. This is Antonio, and Antonio has been here 26 years. He actually knows more about the building than I do. He knows more about setting your meeting up than I do. He knows more about, you know, food, whatever it is. And so he's going to be the person taking care of you. Oh, great. Oh, my God. Antonio, nice to meet you. And then they ask for Antonio when they get on property. They know I'm in the back. You know what I mean? Yeah. They normally, they rely. Is Antonio going to be here? He most certainly is. Let me give him a call. So you can highlight an associate. Like if you got a superstar, highlight them.
Yeah, Antonio better be there. He makes more money than the GM.
Right. Okay. Because that gratuity, that is fortunate. Literally, I had that happen one week where his check was larger than. But so you have an opportunity to make sure they know you're the expert. You highlight an associate, highlight your hotel, and then highlight the area. So so those are things that I like make sure they're in RFP. Then of course they want to know about the guest room and you know parking and how much is this going to be better. But there are opportunities that you can shine a light on something more than just you know dates, rates, and space.
Okay, that was number two.
Uh-huh. And so number three, ask for the business, even in RFP.
Okay, Ask for the business, even in the RFP.
Even in the RFP. I would love to work with you on this piece of business. I would love for you to come stay with us for this particular project. I would love to work with you. I want your business. And I say that. I want your business.
Why does that work so well?
Because it's not great.
Yeah.
It's direct. And it was like, okay, she wants it. I want your business. And they're like, you know what, Karita? We read through your response. And I never use the whatever's in there. I always tailor my response. I always tailor it. I pull buzzwords out of their RFP, and I always tailor my response. That's me. I never use whatever the canned response is. I always tailor it. And so they were like, you took extra time, and we can tell that you took extra time because your proposal stands out from everybody else because of that. But I ask for the business. And, you know, there's times where you get objections and there's times when you get pushback, but it doesn't bother me because I'm like, I know I built a rapport, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's just not the right time. Sometimes you're just not the right hotel, but next time.
Yeah.
But next time, you know what I mean? And I never get upset if they say they went somewhere else. Oh, I completely understand. I say, I can see how that may have worked for you. You know, keep us in mind next time. As a matter of fact, do you have your next set of dates? Like, there's always something else or someone else. I don't get upset when I don't get it. It's fine. It's okay.
On to the next lead.
Yeah. Yeah. On to the next. Or you'll get something else from that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get something else from them.
What's number four?
Ooh, number four, photos. So I have this e-proposal that I use. It has three slots for photos on the first page, mm-hmm. and it has three slots for photos on the last page. So depending on what they're looking for, if it's a meeting space driven, I'm going to have pictures of meeting space, food set up, culinary, you know,
okay.
I'm going to showcase that. So it's interchangeable in a document before I send it out as a PDF. And then the last page, I want to highlight, you know, the property, whatever they're looking for, guest rooms, if it's kings or doubles or, you know, if it's kids, you know, highlight the pool, things of that nature. So I use the photos to help paint the picture and tell the story of the property. So that's another key thing that I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
And number five.
Ooh, you're pushing me to the max. Okay, let's see. Number five that I always do, when I send it, mm-hmm. I call to make sure they've received it. I don't assume they received it. I've had a lot of proposals go to junk mail, and it could be because the pictures or the size of the document, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So I always call to see if they received it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Tell me about some of the issues that you have had with pricing or additions that need to be added, like parking and just some of the objections that you received and how you overcame them.
Parking objections are common. And when I have that objection, what I like to do is paint the value of the overall stay. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually was coaching someone the other day at a hotel that I'm working with, and they were like, they just don't want to do parking. I say, show them the benefit of having a parking area that has a gate. Mm-hmm. It has cameras. Not everyone can come in and out. Mm-hmm. It's patrolled. And I said, there are many opportunities for them to stay in open lots, free parking. I said, but they have the security of our parking area that has these controls. And he was like, oh, you know, I didn't look at it that way. And then some of them, they just flat out don't want to pay it. They just don't want to pay it even after you discounted it. And so at that point, it's can I package it somewhere else?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Can I include it somewhere else? Can I still make it a win for the hotel and a win for the client? And I've added it into meeting room rental before. Hey, how many cars are you going to be parking? Why don't we put $200 per day into the rental, and then we can have accounting back it out later. Let's add it into the rental. Let's add it into some type of package where you don't see it. She was like, that's fine, Karita. I just can't see this line. I just don't want to see that line. You know what I mean? Because they got to explain it. And so they don't want to have to explain it to their, whoever, their CFO or their controller. So then include it in as a package and hide it. And then everybody's happy.
That is so smart. Actually, I see that a lot when it comes to their delivery.
Yeah.
Like they will have free parking. They will have free breakfast, but they see it as one in a whole instead of enumerated out separately. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to give you free parking.
Right.
They don't know that everybody gets free parking. We're going to give you free parking. Don't worry about the parking.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to give you free breakfast. We're going to include it in your rate.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, they don't know that everybody gets free breakfast, or they do it per person.
Yeah.
So if you have more than 4 people in a room, or you have the room is set for 2 and you're bringing in 4, the price goes up because it charges per person. Mm-hmm. So, and the reason why it does that is because breakfast is going to cost more because you have more people.
Right.
So when you're saying we're going to give everyone free breakfast,
they're like, I like that.
Yeah. So yeah. It's definitely about the delivery.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
I love it.
Now, what are some of the things that you do to motivate your sales team? It is hard out here for a sales team.
Not you in my lane. Not you in my wheelhouse now, Bruce. Come on now. And this is so real. This is so real. First of all, when I'm building a team, or I'm coming into an existing team, or I'm mentoring a leader, I don't want to count them out, but we're going to go through them. One, we come up with a team name.
Okay.
And I have everybody involved say, hey, we're going to name our team. We are an entity. I know we work for XYZ Brand Hotel, but the sales team is an entity. So let's throw some names in the hat and let's vote on the name of the team. And they come up with everything. The Revenue Renegades, the Sales Warriors, the Prosperity, whatever, you know what I mean? And so they like really get into it. But what I know that I'm doing, the funny thing about that, Bruce, the law of attraction, they start acting like the name.
That's right.
They start behaving like the name. It's no different than a sports team, or, you know what I mean, or an organization. It's like it takes on an entity in and of itself, its own personality. Number two, a team song. And every morning when we're doing DBR, Data Business Review, guess what's playing? Our team song.
Nice.
That's number two. And they were like, you forgot to play the song. Like, they'll remind me. You know, sometimes as a leader, you got so much on your plate that you're trying to cover. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Get somebody, get your cell phone. Play the song. They were like, you didn't play the song. But you would be surprised how that gets their day going when they hear the team song. Number three, I love the bell in the office. I love the ringing the bell when somebody gets a contract or somebody hit a milestone with a client or what have you. I love ringing the bell. It doesn't have to be a cowbell. It can be any type of bell. I've been at properties where each person had a bell on their desk, like a small one. They're like, duh, 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 duh. I've been at properties where you hang it up and everybody rings this big bell. But just something that signifies success just happened. Or somebody just won, you know, because it's hard with the objections and all that. So everybody's striving to ring the bell. Like,
that's right.
I can't be the only one this week that didn't ring the bell. I can get back on the phone with my client and see if they're ready to sign, you know. So the bell. And then big for me, at the end of the quarter, we are going to celebrate whatever it is. I take them out to lunch. Mm-hmm. I print out what their productivity was. Mm-hmm. Even if they hit 50% of the goal, we are celebrating that because it could have been zero.
That's right.
And I have it in an envelope with a special note for me. And I hand it to them. So they open it up, you know, and they see how they finish. And they're like, oh my God, I made it. Or I didn't even think I had it. You know, whatever it is, I celebrate those successes, because next time, they're going to hit it. They are going to hit it. And then I always have their back. Like I have their back as a leader, and I teach my leaders when I'm coaching and training, have their back. Like, go to bat for them. Don't, you know what I mean? Don't throw them under the bus. Go back to the GM. Ask for it again. You know, go back to the VP of operations. Like, just know that you have, that they know you have their back. And then what I get from that in return is I get loyalty and productivity. I've had salespeople stay to 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. Because I had their back on something, and they were like, I owe her this. I'm staying till it's done. And so that, to me, is bigger than anything. And I'm like, are you still here? Why are you? Yeah, I'm going to make you proud. I promise you I'm going to make you proud. So I have their back.
That's beautiful.
And I'm always teaching them something new. I'm a trainer by nature. And I'm like, what's your goals? What, you know, where do you want to be? Okay, let's learn X, Y, Z. We're going to have, in your one-on-one, we're going to do training so you can be ready for this, whatever your next level is. Or I noticed you did something. I don't like to call people out and just, you know, bark at them in front of crowds. Let's make it a teachable moment. Let's make it a trainable moment. And then you're like, but you took the time. You just took, you know, 20 minutes out of your busy day to coach and train me. Yeah, it's important. I see them. They're people. You know what I mean? And we're a team. Like, there's no, I'm not way up here and you guys. No, I'm the stronger you are, the stronger the team is.
That's right.
So I spend my time developing, training, coaching, mentoring.
And that's the hardest thing to do, especially when you're training, because a lot of times you're training your competition. Mm-hmm. So, and it sharpens you because you're training your competition to perform at your level.
Right.
When they leave and actually go to the competition, mm-hmm. now you got to step your game up because they're walking out the door with everything that you just trained in the gym.
Nick Saban and Kirby Smart.
Here we go.
Right. So but you know, that's fine. I love, and one of my, in my book, competition is in my book, The 30 Days of Inspiration for Sales Professionals. Mm-hmm. It's friendly competition.
Yeah.
It's healthy competition. I want you to go get the DOS job next door. Mm-hmm. I want us to go head to head. You know what I mean? I think that's fine. I think there's room for everybody, you know, in the market. And you can't not do it out of the fear that they'll take it somewhere else. You just can't have that mentality. You're doing it because it's for the good of the team. And mm-hmm. if they decide to take it somewhere else, then, you know, that's what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do about cancellations? You know, some people, they want to charge. Some people, they don't want to charge. But I really haven't found the happy medium. I just, you know, I started off with accounting, so unfortunately that attitude comes in. I always charge. But some people feel like, hey, you know, that may not be the best road to take. So
yeah.
What do you usually do?
And that's a good question. So I was a GM during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so we had lots of cancellations. You know, everybody used COVID. And so there were times where I wanted to charge, not charge, whatever. But guess what? I get them on the phone and I listen to the story. Mm-hmm. And I base my decision on what I heard. I want the revenue for the hotel. I'm all about collecting revenue. Mm-hmm. I'm not about leaving money on the table. There's times where, yeah, I'm going to charge it. There's times where we can split it.
Okay.
We can split it. Okay. It should have been this. You know what? Let's make it $75, call it a day. I'm getting something because you did make the reservation. We did hold a room for you and you didn't come. And so after I listened to them, I was like, great, so can you listen to me? And they're like, well, what? I said, well, I like to explain to you what I'm up against when I don't charge it. Mm-hmm. I had one guy, he was like, I'm a Diamond member, and I was just about to call the Diamond desk. He said, but I'm not anymore. He was like, because you listen to me, and then you explain what you're up against. He was like, I said, can we split it down the middle? He said, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we got to get to their people. You know what I mean? So we got to put the humanness back into it. I'm all about putting the humanness back into it. I had one more instance I want to talk about. Back in the pandemic, Cash App cards. People were using Cash App cards.
Oh, I can't stand Cash
App. I can't stop. They stopped it. Like, a lot of the brands have stopped it. Like, you can't use it. But this particular, it was a young couple. They had used the Cash App card. Mm-hmm. And they were owed money back. So it wasn't a cancellation, but they were owed money back. And they got blown off by everybody that they had spoke to in the building, whatever. So I actually sat down and listened to the story. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I can't like put the money back on your card because I don't know where it went. You know what I mean? It's like you refund it and it goes into La La Land.
That's right.
But I said, you know what? I'll write you a letter. And I said, hopefully this letter you can present to the powers that be at Cash App and you can get your money back. They did that. I don't know who they had gotten an email address. They sent it off to somebody, but they were able to get it back. And they called me back and they said, thank you for hearing us. A lot of people didn't want to hear them because they were young. Mm-hmm. And you could tell they were young.
No, they didn't want to hear them because they used Cash App.
They used Cash App and they were judging them on it. But see, at the end of the day, like they're humans though. And so, but I wrote them a letter. I was like, I can't physically give you money, but I'll write you a letter and say you were here. We did process a refund. Mm. This is, you know, and they got it resolved.
Yeah, I had a bad experience on the other side of the fence. I was hiring somebody for a project. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we can't do the project if you don't pay us in Cash App. I'm like, I'm a corporation.
Right.
I don't got no damn Cash App.
Hey. What's
wrong with you?
Get my Cash App. Not under the company name.
So I ended up hiring somebody else. They lost the business. I hired somebody else. And
right.
I was able, the guy was like, listen, man, I got Zelle. I was like, I got Zelle here. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Cash App.
Yeah. So they used it and I'm so glad they stopped it because those cards, it was horrible because it didn't go back. It just, you take a deposit and you couldn't get the deposit back to them. And it was kind of crazy. But cancellations, so just hear them out. Hear them out. You can kind of tell when somebody's BSing, and you can tell when, okay, they probably legitimately had an emergency or, you know, an excuse. And they offer to spend it. But for the rule of thumb, though, is charge it.
Yeah.
Rule of thumb is charge it, get the money. And then if they call back, then let's talk through it. But let's charge it.
My one thing is, like, it's been working out a lot lately. It's just like, you know what? This is a prepaid reservation. I'll rebook it at a later date.
Yep.
Prepaid reservation. I'll rebook it at a later date. This way you still get to come. Mm-hmm. And you don't lose your money because I'm supposed to just
keep it.
Yeah, I'm supposed to keep it all and you're supposed to pay again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go ahead and let this slide.
Yeah.
And that's been working out fairly well.
We can work through it. You know, we can work through it, but charge.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. This is going to be my last question because I know you're very good on the phone.
Okay.
Like, what are like three of the top things that you do that you had great success when it came to selling on the telephone and prospecting?
That's a good question. I was thinking about that when I was driving here to this location, and it brought back my days at Marriott. When I first started with Marriott, we had a teleprospecting flowchart.
Ah. Okay.
And so if they say this, you say that. If they go here, you go here. No, and it kind of told you like what to say, but nonetheless, that's like a canned response. But one of the things that I learned early on is to mirror the energy of the person on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
If they're high energy, you be high energy. If they're a little bit more low key, you bring it down low key. If they're the type of person that they're talking through, some people like to talk through it while you're on the phone. So like help them talk through it. Don't get irritated with them. Like, okay, they want to talk through it. Let's talk through it. But if you mirror their energy on the phone, you build instant rapport.
And what that means is somebody's talking like this. Yes, this is what I want to do. You don't talk with this. Yeah, baby, let's get this hotel deal running. Come on, give me that credit card. You don't talk like that.
Right. Because they are like, they're on the other end. They can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't know, like, that sounds like a crazy person. So once you get them on the phone and you hear their tone, mirror it. Another thing is that the greeting. Make sure your greeting is pleasant when you pick up the phone, because sometimes we are busy and we're busy in hotels and we're doing things and we can pick up the phone and be kind of short sometimes. Sales, how may I help you? But take the time, if you're going to pick up the phone, make your greeting pleasant.
So you never pick up the phone and say, who that is?
No. No, I haven't. No, I haven't. But I do have a story about where I won a piece of business based on the phone greeting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a sports team, and they had been calling around to several hotels, and either one, no one answered the phone, or two, the people that answered the phone were short, like really short. And so I answered the phone that particular day, and I was like, hi, good morning. This is Karita. How may I help you? And they were like, you're pleasant. I said, of course I am. I said, what is it that I can do to make your day better? How can I help you? And they were like, wait a minute. Are you serious right now? I said, yeah. So they began to tell me what they had. I said, do you have it in writing? Do you have an email? I said, I don't want to be short with you. I was actually on my way to a meeting. I said, I am walking out to go to a meeting. I said, but when I return to my desk, I want to make sure that I give you the attention that you need and deserve on this particular piece of business. Mm-hmm. And I did just what I said. When I got back to my desk, I called back. I got more information. We talked through it and whatever. I sent them a proposal. It turned out that it wasn't just that particular event that they needed. They had a series. And they said, you just won the series.
Wow.
You answered the phone. Wow. You were pleasant and you showed me the attention. And I'm telling that phone, I have another phone story. I started my career with Enterprise Rent-A Car. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna say the year. I ain't gonna say the year, Bruce. But I started with Enterprise Rent-A Car. And our regional manager had a 3-ring rule. Mm-hmm. You had better answer that phone by the 3rd ring. And so literally it would be, that's ring number one, you know, ring number two. By 3, they were diving over counters. You know, all of us, you know, to answer the phone. But he said, if they took the time to call us and they want our business, we need to make sure that we're answering the phones and that we're there to receive the business that's on the other end.
That's
he
right.
literally equated phone to dollars.
That's
the
right.
The phone to dollars. So I believe that if you're in the office and you can answer the phone, answer the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that if they leave a voicemail, return it in a timely manner. I believe that if you say you're going to call somebody back, call them back.
Don't let it get the voicemail. if they left you a voicemail, that means they're talking to somebody else.
Right. And so I kept that philosophy all right on into hotel business. So literally, I was in an office the other day, and I had the phone ring, and the coordinator was late. I'm sorry, I was talking to the coordinator. It was one of the sales managers, and I was like, there's a phone ringing. They had a really low, faint ring, and I'm like, there's a phone ringing. And I picked it up because I still have that mentality.
Man, that is nice. That is nice. Right. Well, those are all the questions that I have for today. Tell me what you got going on.
Wow. One of the things that I got going on, of course, I have my book. He talked about it earlier, the 30 Days of Inspiration for Sales Professionals. You can order it from me directly. And my email address is resettabilityinc@gmail.com. So I have those for your sales teams. We send them out and they're pocket size, but they are so power packed full of information for sales that you're going to want to grab a copy.
That's also on besthotelbooks.com.
Yes! Awesome. And then number two is I'm working on my sales academy. And so my sales academy is going to be for sales training and mentorship, but it's also for sales leadership. And so my big thing is resetting hotel culture from a sales standpoint, resetting the mindset of the sales team, and resetting the revenue that can be generated if they put these principles into place. So more information about the Sales Academy coming soon, Resettability, the Sales Training Academy. And then last but certainly not least, I'm a speaker and a coach. So if you're having a leadership conference for your hotel company, for your sales team, for your organization, I'm your girl. Not only do I talk about the sales culture, sales training, and how to be a more dynamic, phenomenal salesperson, I come with a mindset transformation. So resettability is the act of taking your mindset back to its factory settings, back to the place where you were confident and fearless and you wouldn't accept no for an answer. So I want you to have teams that don't accept no, we figure it out, but we evolve into a culture that's about taking it back to the beginning. where we did build rapport. We did make the calls. We did have loyalty, and we knew the accounts. We saturated our accounts. So that's what the resettability culture is all about.
When your life is not at its best, it's time for a reset.
I like that. I like that.
So how can everybody get in touch with you?
I'm on LinkedIn, of course, under my name, Karita Montgomery. You can hit me up via email, resettabilityinc@gmail.com. And then my website, which is under construction because I'm restructuring some things, but resettabilityinc.com.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. And as always, I am Bruce Jordan, the Michael Jordan Hotels. You could go check out my book. It's finally out. The Hotel Revenue Bible, edited by yours truly.
Yes!
Go to hotelrevenuebible.com to order your copy. Talk to you soon.